This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome to a Sunday morning edition of the Zach Yelp Show, right here on CBS Sports Radio on your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate or Sirius XM, channel 206, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227 is the number if you want to jump on board with us, or you could give me a follow, shoot me a tweet on the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb, that's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. And we're coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk to Matt Mershell, who covers college football for the Orlando Sentinel. And somewhere in the 4 a.m. Eastern time, 1 a.m. Pacific hour, we will talk to Michelle Tafoya, who does a great job on the sidelines for Sunday Night Football on NBC. They have a great game coming up later tonight, what should be a great game, an NFC North matchup with the Chicago Bears hosting the Minnesota Vikings. So a whole lot of NFL to do. We'll get into Joe Flacco, as it looks like he's not going to play coming up later today versus the Bengals. And maybe this could be the start of the Lamar Jackson era in Baltimore when it comes from him as the starting quarterback. So we'll get into all the NFL later on in the program. But we do have to start things off with the college football, as we don't have that much college football left. Still a bunch of games to get to, but not that many weeks left. Now it gets spread out a little bit, but you really have one more true week of the regular season. Then you have, of course, your conference championship games, a little Army-Navy. And then before you know it, Heisman Trophy that Saturday night after Army-Navy, which I still think it's going to be Tua Tagovailoa, even though Kyler Murray continues to have a sensational season. We'll see who the finalists are as the weeks do go on. And then we will have the bowl season. And that will ultimately lead into the college football playoff as we continue to look at who's going to be the top four. No changes in the top four, in my opinion, for this week, as Alabama did win, Clemson did win, Notre Dame did win, and Michigan did win. So that's what I think your top four will be. But let's look at some of the games from yesterday and what really did stand out to me. We'll start with what I thought was one of the more entertaining games, and that was Ohio State and Maryland. It was a 52-51 type of game with a whole lot of offense and not that much defense. And Maryland had an opportunity in overtime to either kick the extra point or go for the two and win the game. And they elected to go for the two and win the game, except they drew up a perfect play. The quarterback in Pigram had a man wide open. All he had to do was just complete the pass, and it wasn't even close. So, hey, that's a Maryland team that they've been through a lot this year and some terrible circumstances. It would have been awesome to see Maryland get that victory for those kids that have had to be put in a very difficult spot this year. But at the end of the day, if you can't complete that play at the end of the game, or you had a chance to win, I have no problem with the coach going for it. I liked it. Aggressive. Really nothing to lose in the big picture of things. And you just couldn't complete the pass. So you can break it down all you want. And what the game came down to, it's very simple. The game came down to that two-point play. Whether you thought it was the right decision or not, I thought it was the right decision. I had no problem with it. But you have to find a way to complete that pass when you have a teammate of yours wide open. And it wasn't even close. I will tell you, though, and I know it's something that many people did observe in the game of Ohio State and Maryland, is the health of Urban Meyer. And I always know that is a controversial topic, especially with how it ended at Florida. But when I was watching Ohio State, Maryland, he does not look like he's in a good spot from a health standpoint. And that's maybe the worst I've ever seen Urban Meyer conduct himself on a football field. And he looked like he was struggling. And he really did. So I wonder what is going to be the future for Urban Meyer. And there's been talks, and you do have Ryan Day in waiting, but is this going to be the final year of Urban Meyer coaching at Ohio State? And we shall see. But it would not surprise me by any stretch at the end of the year if you have a press conference and he announces that he's stepping down. Not saying that it's 100% going to happen, but you watch him on the sidelines yesterday, no matter what you think of Urban Meyer or not, he just did not look healthy. So Ohio State, they survive Maryland. That will set up Ohio State, Michigan next week at Ohio State. And the winner of that will go to the Big Ten championship game and play Northwestern. And we will finally see, after all the year of hearing revenge tour, redemption tour for Big Blue in Michigan, if they're able to find a way to take down Ohio State. And this is a year they could definitely do that. I did not love Michigan's performance up against Indiana. It was a two-point game, and they were down by two at half. And I'm not a major fan of the Michigan offense, but it's been good enough this year. That defense, we all know how good it is. But that should be a fun one next weekend when you have Ohio State with their offense with Dwayne Haskins. And we all know Ohio State's defense is just terrible right now. It was awful. Absolutely awful. And we'll see how that Michigan defense, which is one of the best in the nation, will fare up against Haskins. Should be a fun one. I've been saying this is Michigan's year to get into the college football playoff, and I will stand by that, but I don't think that game's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be a close one and probably come down right to the wire. So OSU Maryland, will put that on the back burner. We'll move along. Bama and Citadel. I never thought we'd be talking about this in the open in terms of it being a competitive game in the first half, and we probably would have been focusing more on Tua Tagovailoa, who we didn't know how effective he would be for the game. He ended up being 18 of 22, 340 yards, three touchdowns through the air and on the ground, four rushing attempts, 37 yards, and a touchdown. So he is all okay with Tua Tagovailoa, but in the first half, it was 10-10. I couldn't believe that. I wasn't even really watching the game, and I was watching some other games, and I looked at the scoreboard, and it flashed up on the bottom line. Oh, 10-10. I go, wow. So I quickly put on that game, and I said, oh, Saban has got to be going nuts in the locker room. He's got to be freaking out. I would have paid a lot of money to be a fly on that wall in the locker room, and whatever he said ended up working, because in the second half, Alabama ended up winning the game 50-17, and they had like two touchdowns in the first 5 minutes in that second half. So Alabama continues their dominance, and it does roll along, even though the first half was not pretty for the Crimson Tide. Notre Dame, Syracuse. See, I was a victim of this. I fell into the trap of that we were hoping it was going to be a great matchup, that it was at Yankee Stadium. It had all the makings of Syracuse and what their story has been, their great story with Dino Babers. But Notre Dame is just a much better team. I thought Notre Dame was going to win the game. I did think Syracuse was going to keep it within 10. But shame on me for not knowing going into this one, or not thinking going into this one, that it was without a doubt going to be a blowout. And I did say yesterday, it's either going to be a blowout Notre Dame or it's going to be a close one. But I should have sided on the way of it being a blowout with no even thought of Syracuse keeping this one close. And to be fair, Syracuse did lose their quarterback early in Dungy. But Notre Dame is just by far and away the superior team, and they ended up winning 36-3. Now, I will stand by what I do say about Notre Dame. Notre Dame will get into the college football playoff. They will beat USC next weekend, and they'll be undefeated going into the college football playoff, but they are not on the same level of undefeated as Alabama. They are not on the same level of undefeated as Clemson. I know you could say, oh, well, Clemson just barely survived Syracuse, and look what Notre Dame did to Syracuse. I think there is a difference between Alabama and Clemson compared to Notre Dame. So I will stand by that until Notre Dame proves me wrong in the college football playoff, as this does get a feel of a team that has been a national championship game a little while back, and they just got exposed up against Alabama. So credit Notre Dame. It's been a great season for Brian Kelly. A really fun season. I'm just not saying they're going to be in the college football championship game. They'll be in the playoff, but they won't be in the championship game, in my opinion. If I'm wrong, I'll be the first one to admit it. So congrats to them at Yankee Stadium. They do win the game 36-3. Now, West Virginia and Oklahoma State. If you are a West Virginia fan, you have to be sick to your stomach right now, because this was a football team that was up 31-14 up against Oklahoma State, and they lost the football game 45-41. I remember earlier in the year, I think it was Texas Tech. where it was West Virginia, Texas Tech. And it was very similar. It was like a 31-17, 31-14 score, something along those lines, right in that ballpark range. And West Virginia was up in the first half. They could do nothing in the second half. But the Texas Tech quarterback, as they were going to try to either tie the game or take the lead, he threw an interception, and West Virginia, I believe, ran it back for six, and they ended up winning the game. But that was one of those games where it was hot and cold, amazing in the first half and just terrible in the second half. And when it was 34-31, and you quickly saw the lead that you had just getting smaller and smaller, but then Greer goes for that quarterback run for a touchdown, you're up 41-31 with under 8 to play. There's no way, if you're a West Virginia fan, you're thinking they're going to lose the game up 10, under 8 to play, especially with the way that offense operates. And I know their defense isn't good. But then Oklahoma State gets two touchdowns and make it 45-41 with 42 seconds left on the clock. But West Virginia had one last chance. They were inside the 30. They had 1 second left, and Greer just could not connect for some more late magic for West Virginia. So West Virginia, in just, which is, you have to be sick to your stomach if you're a West Virginia fan, because you're up 31-14. You're up 10 points with under 8 to play, and you can't find a way to win the football game. Just absolutely embarrassing. So that's where we currently sit with another weekend of college football. And I'm still rolling with Bama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Michigan. And there's an abundance of scenarios where this could have a whole lot of chaos, but I do believe that that will be the four when the college football playoffs do roll along. I do think you'll have Bama going up against Michigan and Clemson going up against Notre Dame, and that will lead to an Alabama and Clemson national championship game once again. But there could be some chaos that could happen where it could make this whole situation very confusing and it would make for a whole lot of speculation for us. The Bama-Georgia SEC title game is huge. Michigan-Ohio State is huge. Notre Dame-USC, even though everyone expects Notre Dame to win, that's still a big game because if Notre Dame loses, then they would be out. So there's a whole lot more games on the horizon. And even if Ohio State, because we got into the breakdown last week, if Georgia beats Alabama, Bama and Georgia would be in the top four. If Clemson wins out, they would get in. And if Notre Dame wins out, they would probably get in. But then you could have schools like a Michigan, very much annoyed at their one-loss Big Ten champion. They don't get in. Same for Oklahoma in the Big 12. Maybe Washington State in the Pac-12, though I don't think they would get in. But there could be a whole lot of schools upset. But another scenario that I thought of, well, what happens if you do have one spot left and Ohio State wins, and let's say they go on to win the Big 10. They beat Michigan, they go on to win the Big 10. And then Oklahoma does win out and win the Big 12. Do you go with the Big 10 champion or do you go with the Big 12 champion? And in this case, if it comes down to just Ohio State and Oklahoma, I would actually think it's going to be Oklahoma that gets in. I think Oklahoma is a better football team than Ohio State and what they are this year. So that was just another thing that I thought. But as much as I'm rooting for the chaos, I think we're going to get what we're getting right now with Bama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Michigan. Because I do like Michigan to beat Ohio State and then Michigan to go on to beat Northwestern. I do like Notre Dame to beat USC. I think Clemson wins out, and I think Alabama, even though Alabama, Georgia, I can't wait for that, especially with Georgia's run game up against Alabama's defense, but I would side with the Crimson Tide on that. So that's where I'm thinking right now in the college football landscape across the country. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. The phone lines are open for you next, and we'll take all of your reaction on college football. But also when we come back, Notre Dame's jerseys. I saw something on social media yesterday and the reaction about Notre Dame's jerseys that made me want to throw up. So some people, they need to settle down and not take their sports this seriously. It was a crime yesterday with the Notre Dame jerseys and them not wearing their traditional helmets. I'll tell you why it's so stupid and ridiculous when we come back. It's a Zach Gelb show on CBS Sports.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb.
Welcome back in. It's a Zach Gelb show on CBS Sports Radio. Yesterday, I was just trying to innocently enjoy my college football Saturday. I was, for some reason, excited about Syracuse and Notre Dame. And maybe it's because I'm from New York and I really wanted to see how that was going to play out in Yankee Stadium. And you have Syracuse, and it's not the first time they played a football game at Yankee Stadium with the whole Pinstripe Bowl and all the other games that they played there over the years. We know that. And you know, they've been playing football at Yankee Stadium for forever. and you have the new Yankee Stadium and all that. But I was getting jacked up for this game really because of the fact they had an undefeated Notre Dame team and you've had a Syracuse team who Syracuse, when it comes to football, has been irrelevant for a long time. And they have a coach who has a whole lot of energy and he's a really, really fun coach in Dino Babers. Whenever I hear him do an interview, I really enjoy him speaking. But the game ended up being a stinker. But even before we knew the game was going to be a stinker, the moment when Notre Dame takes the field, it's just tweet after tweet after tweet after tweet. And I'm scanning, perusing social media, and I'm looking at every tweet about the Notre Dame jerseys and the Notre Dame helmets. And you would have thought that a player committed a malicious act or there was some type of crime that occurred with the reaction and the overreaction about the jerseys. I understand tradition. I understand an iconic look. But for one time, when they change it up, when they're playing at Yankee Stadium, this is a big deal that Notre Dame elected to put some pinstripes on a circle on their helmets and not wear their classic gold helmets, or put some pinstripes on the sleeves and put some pinstripes on the pants. And I didn't even think they looked that bad. Like, if I was a Notre Dame fan, which I'm not, I would actually buy that jersey. And they make the jersey. It's for this series that they have. And I'm sure they'll sell a bunch of jerseys like that. But for people to, like, just start freaking out, and you see the tweet, "You're Notre Dame, act like it." Like what? Like, I like Mike Francesa. Mike Francesa tweeted that. "Hated the uniforms. You are Notre Dame, act like it." Well, they did act like they're Notre Dame. They won the football game, did they not? So we're going to freak out and criticize them over their jerseys, but let's pretend like they didn't act like they're Notre Dame. They did. They won 36-3. And then Kevin Negandhi, who I have a lot of respect, went to my alma mater, Temple, has been so kind to me in my young broadcasting career. He had the same tweet. "You are Notre Dame. You don't need gimmicks, pinstripes, or blue lids. Stay true to the iconic gold helmets and the classic threads." Like, why? What's the big deal? They change up their jersey one time, and now everyone is acting as if this is the most outrageous thing in the world? This is something that is so blown out of proportion. It really is. I thought the jerseys were fine. Like, I would get it if they were ugly jerseys. Like, there's sometimes where you have these games and they are just ugly jerseys. But these weren't ugly jerseys. These were actually, I thought, nice jerseys with a little touch to the Yankees where you're playing. And I had someone tweet me, "Well, why is Notre Dame wearing the Yankees jersey? Like the Yankees honoring of the jersey. Syracuse is in New York." Hold on. That's someone that doesn't know New York. There's a lot of media members who work in New York that love Syracuse. And that's actually a good thing why Syracuse didn't win the game, because then we'd have to deal with every media member in the world telling us how great Syracuse is and how we should all genuflect to Syracuse. But Syracuse is 4 or 5 hours from Yankee Stadium. Notre Dame was the home team in this game. Syracuse only got 5,000 tickets. Now, there were a lot more Syracuse fans than just 5,000, but their allotment was only 5,000 tickets. But you would have thought yesterday, with the reaction on social media, and it wasn't just Negandhi and Mike, to be fair. It was almost everyone. At one point, I tweeted out, "I feel like I'm the only one that likes these Notre Dame jerseys." I had no problem with them whatsoever. I thought the helmet was a nice little touch, like the Monument Park stuff with the Notre Dame logo and the pinstripes going down. And then on the jerseys, they had the cursive Notre Dame writing, like as you would on the Yankees jersey. And then you have the pinstripes as well on the sleeves and the pinstripe pants. So why are they so ugly? What was so wrong with that? I had no problem with it whatsoever. But it was as if they committed a violent act. I couldn't believe some of the reaction. And it did give me a laugh, and it did also make me sit back and say, people get this worked up over a uniform. It's not, they're not wearing these all the time. You're not abandoning the gold helmet and the classic jerseys forever. No. It was one time. They're playing at Yankee Stadium. I thought it was a nice touch. And really, I saw someone tweet out a picture. It looked beautiful from the tweet that I saw of the stadium and how the stadium did look. But on television, when you got the crowd shots with the blue and the Notre Dame looking blue and then the orange, it wasn't the prettiest thing to watch on television in the stands. So just the colors, they just weren't blending that great for me in the stands when I was watching on television. It was funny. When I saw the tweet, I said, oh, yeah, this is a pretty nice looking scene. It's a nice sight. But then when you actually look in the stands, all the different colors, it didn't look great. But the Notre Dame jerseys to me were no problem whatsoever. All right, let's go to Mike in Virginia. Before we get to Mike, let me just remind you, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? Get it all at geico.com.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb.
All right, welcome back in. It's the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. So I have three stories for you from college football yesterday, and they're all interesting stories, to say the least. So let's first start it off with the Utah State-Colorado State game. If Colorado State would have pulled this off, this really would have been something, because the Aggies of Utah State, they are a top 25 team in the country, and Colorado State going into the game yesterday only had 3 wins on the season. So I'll be perfectly honest with you. This was not one of the games that I was really getting excited for. And I was not actively watching Utah State and Colorado State. That's a game that I call a game that you follow on Twitter. Utah State and Colorado State. No disrespect to either of those programs. But with all the other games that were happening yesterday, that wasn't the game that I wanted to tune in for. I didn't even know what channel it was on. So Utah State, I'm reading on Twitter, loses to Colorado State. And Colorado State throws a Hail Mary. It was successful. And the game's over. I saw tweets about it. Oh, what a Hail Mary. What a success by Colorado State. And I was listening to the play-by-play guy, and he said, like, what a touchdown, Colorado State. And there's no flags. No flags. And right as he says no flags, you hear the referee, can we get that cut too? Let's try to find it. We'll play it by the end of the show. But right when they say no flags, the referee gets on and goes, yeah, the guy stepped out of bounds. And he wasn't pushed out. So it was illegal touchings. So Colorado State did not win the football game. Utah State does win the football game. They improved to 10-1. But what a wild game that was. From following it on Twitter, of course. As you think you have a Hail Mary, and then it's a Fail Mary because of the penalty. Which, oh, I can't imagine those emotions. If you're a fan of either one of those teams, if you're a fan of Colorado State, you think you win the game. You're running around your house. You may even have ran outside of your house. Oh, my God, they won the game. I can't believe it. And then what? Did you come back inside your house? And then you have like your Uncle Joe saying, oh, he's like lying on the floor. You can't believe what happened. There was a penalty. And if you're a Utah State fan, the minute you see that Hail Mary be successful, you throw a remote or you have one of those fake videos or someone picks up the television and starts storming out of the house with it and throws it off a balcony. Oh, I can't take this anymore. Which I always think those videos are fake. I don't think actually anyone breaks a TV just in the moment. I think it's something that, oh, let's just play it up for the cameras and like let's use a broken TV or something. But you never know. I had a friend once that put a hole in a wall when he was watching a game. Yeah, it was an Eagles-Raiders game. The Raiders beat the Eagles. And I remember my friend Danny, I got a picture of his of a wall in his house from his mother. And this jackass, they lose the game, and he punches a hole into the wall. So Colorado State, they do lose, to get that clear. They thought they had the Hail Mary. It was not a Hail Mary. That was successful, though, because of the penalty. And Utah State wins the game 29-24. But that was just something, the emotions. You always love like the emotions on Twitter too with that, because anyone that in the right mind was watching the game is like, oh my God, a touchdown, unbelievable. Then you always get the trolls on Twitter that start tweeting back, you idiot, it wasn't a touchdown. How dare you actually put that news out there? It wasn't a touchdown. Weren't you watching the game? Like, no crap. Like, even the play-by-play guy, that's why I'm not going to kill him for it. Because if I was doing the game too, and it's a Hail Mary, you're not thinking it's actually converted. And then once it gets converted, you start freaking out. And I remember Vern Lundquist actually told the story when he was on a few weeks ago promoting his book on the famous kick six in the Iron Bowl between Auburn and Alabama. He remembered on the kick six return, he said out loud, and there's no flags. And then he was honest with us and he said, and I looked around and I was very scared because I didn't know if there's actually no flags or not. But it's just a common reaction if you're doing play-by-play along those lines. So we'll put that one aside. The next story in this Harvard-Yale game. If you would have told me yesterday that after the Harvard-Yale game, we'd be talking about schools like Harvard and Yale and a controversy between a middle finger and an index finger, I would have never believed it. But this is sports. Devin Darrington of Harvard was running into the end zone. Was about like 10, 15 yards out. And this is another Twitter mistake. And when you watch the play live, it looks like he flips the bird to a Yale player. Which luckily we're not on TV because, as I said, flip the bird, the common reaction by me was to actually flip the bird. So, McKeon, here you go. Oh, don't flip the bird back. That's not nice. So when you watch it on TV and everyone's saying, oh my God, the player on Harvard just flipped off the other player as he went to go score a touchdown. I did it again. I said, flipped off the player. My middle finger goes up in the air. So maybe I have to sit on my hands for the rest of this segment just in case if there's a camera or so maybe the CBS Sports Network feed is still streaming there. They're going to be like, who is this jerk on the weekends that just flipped the bird to everyone? But when you watch it, it looks like the Harvard player did give the middle finger. So I'm driving into the studio thinking, oh, this is going to be like a fun thing to talk about. Because you don't see every day a Harvard student at the prestigious Harvard University where it's academics and we have football and it is a very, you know, you have to be an erudite student to be there. You do not think the Harvard player would flip a middle finger to someone else. You wouldn't think that. Well, the story is actually ruined because and that's pretty funny. Marco Belletti just walked in and I'm doing that accent. He must have thought I was crazy.
Sound right? Like a drag queen.
Marco's like, what the bleep is going on?
He's got his middle finger in the air. He's talking in a weird
accent.
Yeah,
right? I'm just flipping the bird in the studio right now. So I'm driving in, and once I get into the studio, I quickly check Twitter to see what I missed when I was driving into the studio. Because if you're away from Twitter on an hour, you can miss a whole lot. And I read this story off Twitter from the Wall Street Journal that I think it was the Harvard team photographer. He went out to dinner with his parents after the game. The game, by the way, was played at Fenway Park. And after the game, the team photographer was talking to his mom and his dad, and they go, well, how about the middle finger controversy? And with the whole middle finger controversy, the photographer goes, what are you talking about? Like, he didn't know. Now, it didn't have an impact on the game, even though they took the touchdown off the board. Harvard still won the game. So the photographer, he went right to his camera, and he was looking at if it was the middle finger or not. So the photographer's name is Tom O'Meara. He's works for the Harvard football team, I guess. And he's going to graduate in 2020. So, this is a student. Oh, this is even more neat. So this is pretty cool for him now. His name's in the Wall Street Journal and all that. And they zoomed in on the picture. And I'm looking at it right now. I retweeted it on my Twitter, at Zach Gelb. And I'll retweet it one more time just in case if you want to go there right now. It'll be at the top of the page. And you see it's actually the index finger. And in the picture, it looks nothing close. Now, there's two ways to say you're number one. You could do it with the index finger, or you could do it in the other way. I remember once I was interviewing Mike Ditka at an event in New Orleans before a Super Bowl. And I was at his charity event, and there was a signed picture of him flipping off a few fans. And I go, Mike, can I get the background story on this? And he goes, oh, I was just telling all those fans that they're number one. So in this case, I guess he's just pointing or taunting. It wasn't the middle finger. It was actually the index finger on the photo. So that's one of those stories. Now, whenever you hear the name Devin Darrington, most people aren't going to know about that. Because when you still search his name, all the articles have already been written where it's player on Harvard flips the bird, player on Harvard gives the middle finger to a Yale player. When in reality, and I went back and looked at the replay and I go, it does look like the middle finger, but when you look at the picture, it's the index finger. So there is a finger controversy, the middle finger and the index finger. Which one was the Harvard player actually doing to the Yale player, and it was the index finger. So you learn something new every day, right? Would you guys ever have thought when we were going to talk Harvard-Yale that the biggest reaction from that game would be a Harvard player may have flipped the bird to a Yale player?
You know something, Zach? I never thought we were going to talk Harvard-Yale, so you got me there.
Gotcha. Well, it wouldn't be crazy to talk about it because it was at Fenway Park. Like, make a mention of it.
I guess.
I wouldn't think we'd be doing an entire segment on it.
Once again, the thought that you were going to talk about that tonight, did it cross your mind?
You never know. As I see the Notre Dame jerseys, by the way, flashing across the television right now, and I still think they're fine. Did you guys hate those jerseys? Am I crazy here on this one?
The pants are bad.
Really? What's wrong with the pants?
It's just it's not Notre Dame.
Captain Obvious.
It's like the Yankees and Notre Dame like had a uniform combined.
Okay, and if the Yankees were, I don't know, ever playing at where Notre Dame plays, and they made a tribute to Notre Dame, it would be, oh,
I'd hate it. Yeah, absolutely.
Of course you do. Because
you don't touch that uniform.
You yell at fans at the Yankee games that put the name on the back of the jersey.
Complete frauds.
Yeah, and you see, but you're like a weird sport fan. If I ever had to use the mute button on Twitter, you would be someone that I would use the mute button.
I'm pretty sure I'm muted on your Twitter.
No, you're actually not, because you work on the show sometimes, so I can't mute you. But I was very close to using the mute button on you today. One of your tweets were, 100 days until pitchers and catchers. Football going on right now.
Couldn't you mute him and then just unmute him later?
Yeah, but that's too much work.
You might forget.
There's a few people that I have mute on Twitter, and it's people that their tweets just annoy me.
I think I know a few.
Yeah, you could probably guess them. But McKeon's are just, some of them I'll chuckle at. Some of them I'll just say, he's ridiculous. And then some I just go, I have no clue why he actually presses send on some of these tweets.
Look, man, he's a special kid, you know? It's cool.
But he gets in a lot of fights.
But he's fine. You got to calm him down sometimes.
He gets in a lot of fights with people at the station. I understand.
Who are you fighting with that works here?
I don't know. One person.
He gets into some fights with some personalities on this station, too.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah, Mraz, you get into fights with all the time.
Well, because he gives these ridiculous opinions just for
attention. Yeah, but you're a part-time board op.
Yeah, you got to let that roll off your back.
You got to let Mraz. If I was a part-time board op, I'm a part-time host. Well, a host is a little bit different. I'll attack Mraz on Twitter, so I'm being...
Oh, it's okay for you.
Here. Yeah.
Yeah, fine. You know?
But I wouldn't necessarily attack Mraz right away.
Attack the guy.
It's like a waste of time,
just
it really is.
With his opinion. I don't want to attack the guy. And I still like him. He's a good person.
And then there's some other host that you'll... Or you'll subtweet. McKean's a big subtweeter, too.
You realize, he wants you to react to the tweet in his tweets in that way, right? Like, that's what he wants. You're giving him what he wants.
I don't think I've ever subtweeted someone.
You may as well just put an egg face up on your Twitter account.
I don't think
seriously.
I've ever subtweeted one.
Now, the last story that I'll get to is, we all know what happened with Tom Herman and Zach Smith when the text messages that Zach Smith did send to Tom Herman trying to expose maybe some of what Tom Herman did do and cheat on his wife. Well, the response by Tom Herman, he gave a kissy face, and then he also in the text message said, okay, cool, hook him. So the shirts were made yesterday by a player's mom on Texas, and it was okay, cool, hook him. Those are the shirts in the Texas orange. And I actually saw that Tom Herman's wife was wearing the T-shirt, which I thought that was just like an epic troll move. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool that she wore the T-shirt. Well, there's actually a lot of good going on with this T-shirt, too. Part of the proceeds from the T-shirt are actually going to go to a woman's shelter, I was reading. So that's cool. That's very good that a situation that was an ugly situation on social media, you could raise some money for actually some good in trying to stop domestic abuse. As Texas Domestic Violence Shelter, that's where part of the proceeds will go to. So I thought that was very neat. But when I saw Tom Herman's wife wearing the shirt, I said, wow, I can't believe she's wearing that. And then I realized that they were selling the shirts and a lot of people had the shirts. I thought it was just her shirt, but it ended up being many people had the shirts and it's going to what is a good cause in the Texas Domestic Violence Shelter. All right, when we come back, Matt Mershell will join us from the Orlando Sentinel. He does a fantastic job covering college football nationally. And if you want to check out McKeon's Twitter and see all the craziness that's on it as well, you could agree with me. The guy needs to be muted on Twitter. It's a Zach Gelb Show, hour number two, coming up next, CBS Sports Radio.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb.
CBS Super Bowl season continues Sunday with exciting regional action. The Pittsburgh Steelers head south to battle the Jacksonville Jaguars, and later, the Los Angeles Chargers host the Denver Broncos in a classic AFC West showdown. Check your local listings for the game in your area and kick off the day with the NFL Today presented by Jeep at 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS. Was that you too, by the way? Right?
Coldplay,
that's right it was. Viva La Vida, right?
No, they do perform that song. Yeah. It's a Coldplay song, but this is A Sky Full of Stars.
That's what it was, okay. I remember they played that once at the Garden. They play Coldplay a lot at the Garden.
You went to a Coldplay? Oh, it was in a concert.
No, I said a Ranger game.
I couldn't picture you at a Coldplay concert.
No, I wouldn't mind going to Coldplay. I like some of their songs, but for some reason, I thought it was U2 for a second. I'm not the best when it comes to music. Like, I will love a song, and I'll get all the words wrong in the song, and then I'll have the wrong artist, too.
Except for one artist.
Bruce Springsteen, of course. There we go. How about that? That's always a classic on 4th of July.
Yeah?
Yeah, it is.
Well, he does say USA in the song, so.
Thank you, Captain Obvious. All right. We learn something new every day when we work with Brian McKeon. We should do like a words of wisdom segment with Brian Jack McKeon.
We're stretched for time enough as it is. So, no.
Oh, by the way, Graceffa, I have to bring something up to you.
What's up, man?
So, I really thought I was testing Graceffa last weekend. Graceffa, he got very annoyed with me at one point. Now, when I wasn't really watching the Jets and Bills game. But
who was?
Yeah, that's Graceffa.
Me for three quarters.
Graceffa and his six friends were watching it.
I don't but, have six yeah. friends. It's like two.
I was saying Bud Light, Corona.
Oh, we're just naming sponsors. We're just naming beers now.
Yeah, pretty much. A little Casamigos, you know.
His name Jack. His friend Jack.
Yeah.
By the Jack. Way, Casamigos, very good.
Very good tequila. Very good tequila too. Right. So I was I got a notification because, you know, my buddy Zion Dawkins from Temple plays for the Bills left tackle, and he scored a touchdown in the game. So my phone.
Yeah, don't remind me.
Yeah, my phone was in the charger. Well, you can't forget it. He's a huge human being. He's a mountain
Which,
of a human
by the
being.
Way, nobody covered him. Like, no they didn't did. Even know he was eligible. It's like they announced before the play that 70-whatever is eligible. And they didn't even know. That he would like, oh, there he goes.
73.
73, thank you.
Number 70,
oh, there he goes. He's just, there he goes. He's running. There he goes.
So.
We're not going to bother. And he's not going to catch it.
And he did catch it, which is great. So my phone was in the charger because I was back in Philadelphia and I got home and I woke up at must have been 12:20 and I forgot to charge my phone. So I put my phone right in the charger. So it's in the other room. So I'm in my living room and I was watching a bunch of different games. And I just keep on hearing my phone go off. Ding, 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 ding. And then, like, people calling me. And, I'm on the couch. I didn't get that much sleep. I'm watching football. I go, if it's something, like, life-altering, I'll find out in 30 minutes. So I go to the phone, and I look
at
it.
I like how I stand in your priorities. Thank you.
Yeah, so I look at it, and I go, oh, my goodness gracious. I go, everyone's texting me, calling me about Deion Dawkins. At first, I go, I really hope he didn't get hurt because that's the first thing that I thought of. Hopefully, he didn't get hurt or something. And then I look on Twitter, and I also actually look up on the screen, and I see they show one of the in-game highlights. Deion Dawkins caught a touchdown. So I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I know. I was there.
And then you went to the game?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I watched it.
Gotcha. So then I was blown away by the amount of tweets that I was getting. And people were like spelling your name wrong. Like someone like wrote like, how's that Grapio kid doing? Like someone, like people were texting
Not
me,
well.
Tweeting me. And
I don't know who the other guy is, but I wasn't doing well.
And all these people were like, how's James? Because the spread was 8.5. And I came on the air in the pick segment. I go, the Jets should win the game, but the Jets shouldn't be an 8.5-point favorite up against anybody. And Graceffa goes, they'll cover the spread even if it's 9-0. So I just kept on thinking about you during the game. And all the tweets, like most of the tweets, I just kept on tagging you in them because I knew it would get under your skin. But then I texted Ben, and I go to Ben, who's usually the producer of the show. He's off because he's at some wedding, which Ben didn't want to go to the wedding either, but I don't want to get Ben in any trouble in case of his girlfriend is listening.
Nice job.
Oh, yeah, she's
not
listening.
She's
yeah,
not
Ben's
listening
girlfriend
right now.
Is listening to the show right now.
If they
now.
Were at a wedding last night, if they're listening to the show right now at 3:47 a.m. Eastern, there's a serious problem
in that
relationship.
Or it was a really good wedding.
I think we're in the, I think we're in the clear.
So I texted Ben, and I go, have you talked to him? Because if I never hear from you, I know Ben will know where you are. Like something, you could be not seen for 15 days and Ben will know where you are. Like, I really do believe Ben has a tracker inside of you where he knows
sure.
every move you have.
Well, we've been working together a long time.
Yeah. So I go to Ben. I go, have you heard from him? He goes, it's bad. I have not heard from him. And I go, my oh my. I go, we may not see Graceffa for 6 or 7 days. And then when you finally responded to me on Twitter, which you had a really bad, lousy response.
No, it wasn't. It was funny.
Your response was like, oh, that's what happens when you go cheap. Because
it was the
Deion
Lewis quote.
Yeah, they lost
and you got smoked.
Day. Yeah, they got smoked. I'm the first one.
Hey, right.
You know me. When my team is not good, and it's very rare that my team isn't good, I'm the first one to say they're not good. They were terrible up against the Tennessee Titans. So I finally get the response back from you. And I kind of did like the response, even though I go, oh, that's like his comeback. Like, oh, I got you. And then I texted you to either further exacerbate your problems in this game. I texted you a GIF of Tom Brady with the five rings on his finger.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, this is really what happens when you're a cheap organization. And then Graceffa texts me, McKeon, and he goes, why are you picking on me? And I go,
I was like, you got five rings. I don't know why you're bothering me.
I go, there's no malicious intent.
I know there isn't, but isn't that heading to having a good day?
But then I pulled the Tom Herman on him and I sent him a kissy face emoji. So that's what I did.
Bro, where do you think I was when I was texting
at
you?
The bar.
Yeah.
I'm not stupid.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get in a fight with someone that was drinking at that time.
Good
like
idea out of you.
Event
because with, I
yeah.
was really upset.
You would have thrown some hands over the text messages, and you probably would have got smacked.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Yeah. So, are you okay? Like, I understand that you just had a bye week, and then you play the Pats next week. Do you want to go with me to the game, by the way?
No.
He already said no.
No. No,
so,
I don't want to go to the
so
game.
So, it's funny. I had an extra ticket, and we're going
I really don't want to go to the game.
We're going for my uncle's mother's 80th birthday. They're all coming in from Boston, and it's Thanksgiving and all that. And I had an extra ticket at first, and I was going to tell my cousin, oh, just go buy the ticket. I'm going to take my board op, Graceffa. I thought it would have been nice. But then, right as I was about to text you, I go, there's no shot he wants to go see his team after that Bills game.
Yeah, no, I don't want to go.
Yeah.
I have no desire to, well, first of all, we get out of here. Yet, you know what time we get out of here.
Yeah, 6 a.m.
And
Eastfold,
we got a
you guys, probably 7 a.m.
quick turnaround, you know. 1 o'clock game, not great.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to sleep here for 2 hours and then just go right into the tailgate and all that.
Yeah, second invite,
so. Man. You, McKeon? I would never take you to the game, McKeon. See, when McKeon wants something, McKeon wanted tickets to the Double A baseball game.
Trenton Thunder, thank you.
You know
very
what
much.
I did? I called the guy at the Trenton Thunder. I said, "Hey, get this guy whatever tickets he wants." He goes, you want me to put them down for your name at Wilco? I go, absolutely not. I'm not going with McKeon.
I don't want to be associated with that.
Yeah, you don't want to go to Trenton, New Jersey with him.
Yeah, McKeon goes to me, oh, I want to go to a Temple basketball game.
I do, and you still won't get me tickets.
Oh, I told you the other day I would get you tickets. I would just maybe, I would go to the Temple game, but I think I would sit in a certain section and have you sit somewhere else.
Thank you, Zach.
Because you're very needy, okay?
Needy?
Yeah, you are.
I thought you guys were friends.
We're friendly-ish.
We're friendly-ish.
It's one of those friendships where if I'm not making fun of the person, then that's a problem.
Which, by the way, I was not in the mood to be made fun of the other day.
No, you were not.
I was like, this has not been a good day.
But I had to bring it up because it wasn't only listeners to the show. People that I haven't talked to like in a while that I guess listen. But random people I haven't talked to since probably high school or college.
I'm sure all these people thought Matt Barkley and the Bills were going to put up 40,
no,
you know?
No one did.
Yeah,
they
great.
Going, they go, how is that miserable board op of yours in Graceffo?
Miserable board op.
And everyone spelled your name wrong. Like, I'm not kidding. I got one text from someone that I know named Neil, and he was like, how is Grapayo doing?
Guadalajara.
I go, what? I go, what did you just call him? So I had to bring this up on the air, and I thought you were actually trying to dodge it by not showing up yesterday. And
no,
I go,
was not scheduled yesterday.
Oh, you weren't?
I was not.
Really?
No.
Oh, well, I'll have to talk to management about that one. If
Thanks,
Steph man. Was ready to work, why aren't you working with me?
I was not scheduled.
If I went to go talk to management about that one, they would say, who are you?
What? That guy? I don't know who that guy is.
Yeah. No. So
who? Wow. Grapio?
Oh, I thought you were just trying to not show up because you'd hope I wouldn't bring it up.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Gotcha.
I'm a professional.
All right.
Don't worry, Zach. I was here.
Yeah. I kind of wish you weren't here. I'm just kidding. Maybe not. Real quickly on Mr. Flacco. According to Adam Schefter, Joe Flacco is listed as doubtful, is not expected to play against the Bengals per source, leaving first-round pick Lamar Jackson as the Ravens' expected starting quarterback for Cincinnati on Sunday. It would be Jackson's first NFL start. And Schefter also put some more context on this. Ravens quarterback Joe Flacco will not need surgery on his injured hip per source. Aside from being out today versus the Bengals, Flacco is also in jeopardy of missing next Sunday's game versus Oakland. More on ESPN Sunday NFL Countdown at 10 a.m. Eastern. So if Lamar Jackson plays well, this could be it for Joe Flacco. It really could be. As you may have some other changes with the Ravens too. Flacco, Harbaugh could be out. But do you imagine if Lamar Jackson comes in and lights it up? He's played a little bit this year, but if he lights it up, how do you go back to Flacco? And I know what his contract is, but this is a big opportunity for Lamar Jackson. And also, Lamar Jackson, if he's not playing well or if unfortunately he gets injured, the backup then would be RG3, Robert Griffin III. And I knew RG3 was with the Ravens, but when I saw a clip of him from the locker room, because there's one day where he was the only quarterback that was there at practice, and he was the only one that obviously that was then speaking to the media. I go, oh yeah, you forgot that RG3 is still kicking it around with the Baltimore Ravens now. So there's Lamar Jackson watch and maybe potentially RG3 watch. And if Lamar Jackson plays well, the Heisman Trophy winner out of Louisville, well, this could be the end for Joe Flacco. Changes may be coming, Baltimore. And they got off to a good start to the season. Now, not so much, but Ravens and Bengals later today. When we come back, NFL picks. Michelle Tafoya will also join us in about 40 minutes.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb.
And now we got to get into some other games, as it's a pretty good slate in the National Football League, and it will obviously conclude tomorrow night on Monday with the big one, Chiefs at the Rams. So let's start off with Chiefs at the Rams. I like the Chiefs in this one. The Rams, we all know, are a really good football team. But the last few weeks, they haven't been their most dominant when you look at the Rams and the teams that they've played. So I just like the Chiefs in this one. The way Mahomes is playing, I know this is a good, you know, Rams defense hasn't been great this year, but they do got some talent. But recently, Rams, they lose by 10 to the Saints. They just beat out the Packers by 2. And if Montgomery doesn't take that ball out, who knows what happens. The Seahawks game went how I expected. Plus the 10 points with the Seahawks. They were going to keep it close. It was 36-31. It wouldn't shock me if the Rams win the game. I think this is going to be a game where it's high scoring, clearly. I'll make an obvious statement. And if you're going to bet on this one, you probably take the over. Because it should just be score after score after score. But with the Kansas City Chiefs right now, it's tough to pick against them. It really is. And I love Mahomes in this game. I really do. And right now, the weapons, and I know the Rams have an enormous amount of weapons as well. But the way that the Chiefs are playing with Kareem, with Tyreek Hill, and you have Kelce and Patrick Mahomes, I just have a feeling the Chiefs win this one. And then they'll finally will enter for on the other side for the Rams. They'll finally get a bye week as they have the week off in week 12. So with the Chiefs, I'll take the Chiefs in that one. But that's going to be a game. On Monday night, I'm filling in for Pharrell, actually, on Monday. And that's a game that I'm going to be on the air. But I'm thankful that there's two TVs in this studio. And the Chiefs also do have a bye week in week 12, too. So both these teams will go to the bye after this one. But that's going to be a game. It's going to be tough to do the show when you're trying to watch that one. Because that's one of those games. Like, you look at some of the games this year. Pats-Chiefs, that was a marquee game. And this is going to be another one. So Chiefs at Rams, and that game is now going to be played in L.A. Now, here's another one. Vikings at Bears on Sunday Night Football. We already did break that one down for you. But really, that's another one of those games that you look at and you say, I can't wait to watch that one. Because with Chicago, with the young quarterback of Mitchell Trubisky, the way that Matt Nagy's been coaching in year number one, you got Khalil Mack in that defense, and you go up against Kirk Cousins. This is a game for Kirk Cousins. You got that $84 million guaranteed. You got to go play your best brand of football on this one. This is a game you have to win to a team, and he's been really good for them this year in Kirk Cousins. They've had some bad circumstances with injuries and then also the Everson Griffin situation, and now he's back. But this is one where I just like the Vikings because of their experience. But I think this is another one that's a close game. Those two games, I feel really confident they're going to be close. Now, getting to another one, Eagles at Saints. The Eagles right now are struggling immensely. And this was a football team last year that on offense, they were as crisp can be. And on defense, they always found a way, even when they weren't playing their best brand of football, but they found a way to make a timely stop. Now they can't get off the field on third and fourth down. And the offense, they look like they're rolling at some points in the game, but then they just can't put it together for a full 60 minutes. They're 4-5 right now. This is one of those games where you see the Saints, who are the best team in football right now, in my opinion, and they're 8-1. This is a game that the Saints should win. They should win so going away. But you just wonder if Philly could go a little throwback to last year, especially with the quarterback and Carson Wentz. But I just don't see a way that the Saints lose this one, especially because the Saints are home too. So I like the Saints to win, and I like the Saints to win by at least a touchdown. Panthers at the Lions. Matt Patricia, man. I know we talked about him yesterday. He had such an arrogant tone with the media. You get one mulligan. The posture situation, when he did it with the reporter, ridiculous, but you get a mulligan, everyone has a bad day. But then you practice your players outside where you don't have a game outside for a few weeks. I think it's like 4 or 5 straight games where they're inside. And people say, why are you practicing outside when you play indoors this upcoming week? And he gets all snippy with the media and he goes, oh, well, there's like a bunch of head coaches in this room. Shut up and win some games, okay? You can't be Belichick with your tone with the media when you have 3 wins on the season. So Patricia has to shut up. But you also want to see what Panthers team does show up. And you have to imagine they're going to play some PO'd football, the Panthers. I like the Panthers in this one. I think they're the better team. The Lions could be a little bit tricky at home. I know they're 2-2 at home. They beat the Pats at home, and then they did beat Green Bay. But this is a game the Panthers should win, but you want to see where the mental side of the Panthers is actually after just getting embarrassed on Thursday Night Football against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then the final game that I'll look at is Cowboys and Falcons. I'm not buying stock back in on the Dallas Cowboys. They're 4-5. And I started to buy some stock back in on the Falcons, and they lose to the Browns. These are 2 4-5 football teams. They are not good football teams. They have talent on these football teams, but they don't know how to be consistent. So I don't know which way this game goes, but the loser of this game, you go from being on life support to your season officially being over. Because the loser of this one goes to 6 losses on the year, and you'll have some more losses along the rest of the way. If the Cowboys could win, You have a little winning streak being built. You have some optimism. But I still don't think they make the postseason. If the Falcons win, yeah, they get back to 5-5, but I just don't trust that team in terms of their consistency. I don't trust either of these teams in terms of their consistency. So I don't think either of them are going to go on this crazy run where they end up making the postseason. So those are the five games that really do stand out to me. Four of them coming up later today and one coming up on Monday Night Football. Cowboys, Falcons, Panthers, Lions, Eagles, Saints, Vikings, Bears, and then the one everyone's going to be waiting for. It's going to be a video game between the Chiefs and the Rams. If there's not a whole lot of points in this one, well, I'll be shocked. But every week when you do break down NFL games, there's something that does end up shocking you. And there's something that you end up saying, oh, I could have talked about this and studied 9 years of film on it, and I would have never got that one right. All right, when we come back, Michelle Tafoya will join us. But first, here's the latest CBS Sports update from Greg Caserta.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.